Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
College baseball fans, it's time for the D1 Baseball Podcast with Mike Rooney, Aaron Fitt, and Kendall Rogers. Let's win every podcast. Now, here's the pride of the Newtown Edgemont Little League, Coach Rooney.
Hello and welcome to the 43 Minutes of Heaven we call the D1 Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Michael Patrick Rooney. Tonight's episode brought to us by our good friends at S2 Cognition. S2 Cognition delivers a revolutionary approach to helping athletes understand how in-game decisions impact their performance from youth levels all the way to the pros. In-game decisions, swing decisions, get yourself an assessment from S2 so you can see, where am I? You know, as an athlete, am I a good swing decision maker? And if yes, if no, doesn't matter what the answer is, how do I improve? Better swing decisions, better everything in life. I am joined by the great, the most famous Icelander of all time, the great Aaron J. Fitt, a future Icelander, Joseph J. Healy, and then the great KR, the great Kendall J. Rogers. Gentlemen, good evening. Salutations.
Hello, Roots.
Yeah, good to see you. Gentlemen, I want to start with the inane banter immediately. Let's not even... Fitzy's on a plane to Reykjavik like any minute, any moment. So we don't have time to waste here.
Did you say it right?
Who could
probably
say?
Not. Who could say? Yeah. Well said. Gentlemen, I want to... Fantasy football is on the mind. And I did some ESPN stuff last week with the great Drew Carter. And he has a great fantasy football team name. So I want you to think of a great team name or a great tradition. We all saw Dave Fleming lost his fantasy football league, the Giants announcer. He had to be a bat boy for the San Francisco Giants last night. If you've not seen that clip, you need to find it on Twitter. It is amazing. So Drew Carter, he inspired me here because his football team name last year, he changes every year, was Goffy Black. If you ever seen the movie Semi-Pro, Coffee Black was the shooting guard's nickname, or, you know, artist name, whatever you want to call it. And then obviously there's the Jared Goff play there. So Fitzy, you got any great team names that jump out at you?
Oh,
or traditions?
Oh boy. The 1.21 gigawatts. That's all I got. That's my team name. It's
no
iconic.
Way. You have 1.21 gigawatts.
Gigawatts.
That is outstanding.
Iconic storied franchise. That's all I got.
That's pretty good. That's any Back to the Future reference.
They're still going to draft Tom Brady this year, even though he's not playing.
Well.
You know, just in case, you never know.
Oh, yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah, those Hertz commercials they're not going to pay his bills forever. Joseph, what do you got? You got a good tradition or nickname or name, team name?
I do like how, by the way, that Tom Brady, there was this huge, huge news about Tom Brady being a Fox NFL announcer, and he seems to be interested in doing anything but being a Fox NFL announcer. still waiting to hear when he's going to do all that. I actually, Runes, have not played fantasy football in almost a decade now. I just, you know, you guys know this. Because
what do you do for self-loathing? What do you, like, what do you...
Oh, Runes, we don't have enough time. it's a private conversation. But... As time has gone on, like, you only have so much bandwidth in your life, and the NFL, honest to goodness, was kind of the first thing to fall for me, where I just, and I frankly blame the Houston Texans, because for most of my years growing up watching football, we lost the Oilers and I was really sad about it. We got the Texans. They immediately just set about disappointing the entire city for most of its history. So haven't really gotten back on that train. But how about this for a little bit of a... How about Cobra Kyler for Kyler Murray? How about that?
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that. I like whenever you talk about the Oilers best. I'm looking for angles to get you to talk about the Houston Oilers. And the fact that you just said the Texans disappointed the entire city, I love that. I love the gravity.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Dan Pastorini's not walking back to that door, unfortunately.
No, he's not. But you have the Klein Bengals, so... At least,
I've heard they are the next big thing in football in the Houston metropolitan area.
Yes, that's a fact. K The great Mason Jar Rogers leading the charge. Number 42 in your program, number one in your hearts, KR.
Thank you.
What do you got, KR? What do you got? You got a tradition?
So there's like three teams from my league last year that I think are great names, but I will not repeat them on a podcast. Yeah, that's
good policy. Kendall, let me change subjects quickly. As a dad, do you think you will be harder on football referees than you've been on softball and baseball umpires? Where do you think you stand on? No.
Well, number one, you're in this, like, you're way in the stands. Like, there's really no way to, like, you know, you're yelling at a football ref. I'm like, you know, 200 feet away. Whereas, like, foot the, you know, softball ump, I can just yell at him from the dugout.
Yeah.
Right. If Kendall's going to get up in somebody's jockeys about something, he wants to be right there. You know, I want to get right up in it.
Kind of like last year in the softball umpire telling me I need to watch more baseball. So that's my problem.
Ironic.
I watch too much baseball.
Oh, get up in someone's jockeys.
But I want to be right there so they can hear me. They can feel my presence.
Just not worth his effort if he has to yell from 200 feet away.
Yeah, like, who wants to do that? I mean, yeah, come on.
I hear you.
I like it. You know what? You know what I do remember from watching? I was early in my high school coaching career, I was the PA announcer for the Malvern Prep Fightin' Friars, only because the athletic director came up to me and said, that's $50, you know, cold cash for that, which we would then take to the bar and restaurant right after the games. But I do remember, boy, the play calling. The play calling at football games is always in question. Fans have a lot of opinions on the play calling.
I will say that their team, I think, gave up 30 points in 11 games last year. And they run quite an interesting, like, misdirection offense. So it's actually pretty interesting. Bruce, I had a question. Speaking of umpires, what is the – because, like, I don't see you mad very often. So, like, what is the maddest you have ever been as a coach? Like, at an umpire.
Oh, at an umpire?
Yeah, like, what's the maddest you've ever been?
You ever been tossed, Runes?
Once. Yeah, you know, at Phoenix College, I was tossed. I didn't cuss, which was – and I actually made that point to the umpire when he tossed me. I was like, dude, I didn't even cuss. I found out later it was his third game of the day. You can imagine in the early part of the spring in Phoenix, the Northern junior colleges are coming down and just playing as many games as possible, which means the umpires are doing as many games. So – third game, he was cranky. He didn't give the Phoenix College Bears his best effort. You know why I didn't get that fired up about umpires is because players just lose their ever loving minds over it. And like you're trying to convince the player. My theory was the players, if I get focused on it, they're going to get focused on it. And if they get focused on it, we just lost, right? Like they'll spend 2 hours obsessing over it. So I just made a conscious decision, you know, and plus I work for the great Pat Murphy, who Murph was on, you know, that whole generation of coaches. Yeah. They like, I'm surprised anyone umpires, honestly, like you spend a weekend with Murph and Skip Gillespie as an umpire, like you're ready for the psych ward. Like you need a week of therapy. Like those guys will beat you down. Like,
so what you're telling me, you've never thrown a clipboard like Ross Kivett?
No, I think Murph would have stuffed that clipboard down my throat if I had done that.
Hey, but were you around the program when Murph went after Ryan LaMotta on the mound in a regional?
Nope, that was 2 years after me. I didn't witness
that. That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, actually. Like, so for you guys who may not know, like, Ryan LaMotta from Baylor, who's like an All-American that year, like Murph goes over to first base to argue a call. He's walking back to the ASU dugout on the third baseline, and LaMotta starts popping off to him. And Murph like kind of stops, looks around, and just starts walking right towards LaMotta, like in the middle of a freaking regional game. It was one of the most surreal things ever. It was kind of crazy. Like, I think everybody was like in shock because he actually did that.
My favorite Murph story, and I've got a lot, but one of my favorites, my first year at ASU 99, and then we'll get to this is good therapy, that which is our theme for tonight. College baseball therapy.
I feel like less anxiety now.
Yeah. So 1999, we're playing at Stanford. This is 1 year after ASU lost in that crazy national title game. And Stanford's loaded for Bear. I mean, you're talking Jason Young, Justin Wayne. They played in that. This was their first of five straight Omahas. Yeah. So Mark O'Brien is the first base coach for Stanford, and he's got every pitch. He has picked us clean, and he's verbaling pitches into that. We were a little, we weren't great on the mound. We were especially not great when they knew every pitch that was coming. And so Murph goes to the mound to make a visit. And again, this is like, I'm a rookie college coach, first year. Murph goes to the mound to make a visit at Sunken Diamond. And does, we were in the third base dugout. He does not stop at the mound. Like our pitcher and catcher up there, like getting ready to hear Murph's talk, he goes right past them. He proceeds to run right over to Mark O'Brien and starts screaming at him about picking our pitches, which is actually our fault. But I always felt bad for Obi, and Obi and Murph are have been and always were very close. And so anyway, but it was like, it was one of those classic scenes where you're like, oh my gosh, is this actually happening? Did a coach literally just cruise right past the pitcher and catcher? And it's classic. That's awesome.
By the way, I would make Murph the favorite in this fight, but a Murph Ryan LaMotta fight, I don't know. Like LaMotta was a thicker guy.
I heard he's not scared, too.
Like giant calves. Like yeah. I remember that because he wore the high pants. It's yes. Giant calves.
What's cool is the picture is awesome. Like the picture, like Murph's like bowing up to him, and LaMotta just is like staring him down.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like Jake LaMotta, am I right?
Good job. It's an old Joe, you're feeling it. We need to let you cook tonight. Yeah. Well done. All right, boys, let's get to the subject matter at hand. So tonight's episode is about college baseball therapy. I think we've all had enough of, you know, conference realignment every morning, you know, rumors of mid-level agents baiting players into the portal with NIL money. Just, you know, the draft is now happening like the day before school starts. I'm exaggerating, but it's just been a lot. Like college sports has been a lot recently. And so, Joe, you said something that inspired this, where you went to the Cape this summer and you were like, man, my college baseball soul needed that experience. So what I thought, I'll give you guys an example of one that I know you won't pick, but I want each of us to pick something you've seen or thought about recently that gets your college baseball soul rejuvenated and fired up for fall baseball, which is really, really fun. I'll give you one thing. I've got a couple, but I'll give you guys one thing right away. Danny Graves, our beloved Danny Graves, Gravy, who's so awesome, just celebrated his 50th birthday. He put it on Twitter. He graduated from the University of Miami 29 years later after leaving, being drafted after a junior. So, like, you know, Whatever happens with college sports, Gravy had an incredible big league career. He just got inducted in the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame. But for him to go back and finish his degree, which was something that, you know, he would tell you was not easy to do for a million different reasons. Good on you, Gravy. He's one of the awesome people in our sport. And so really cool when you hear about someone like that doing something that, you know, they feel really proud about. So there you go. There's a little, if that doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy, then I don't know what you got. Who wants to go next? Who else has got something positive?
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, I related to kind of my Cape experience. I was there for the draft, actually. And so it was kind of two parts of the story. One is day three of the draft, I was actually at the park at Yarmouth Dennis. Yarmouth Dennis, which plays its games at Dennis Yarmouth Regional High School. I thought that was kind of funny.
Put it together.
Had like three guys get drafted right around first pitch. Like bang, bang. Wow. And so that was kind of a cool experience. I think we've all seen it back in the days when the draft was during, you know, regionals or super regionals or what have you, guys getting drafted in the dugout. And we kind of hated that for that reasons, but it was different here on the Cape, obviously. And so it was kind of cool because a lot of the players' parents are there. You know, the team is able to kind of, you know, break focus a little bit to celebrate those guys. So that was kind of cool. One such player was Brady Day of Kansas State. And who went on to hit a home run later that day. So that's a day he's not going to forget ever. But he's coming back to Kansas State. And so my thing here is not necessarily just focusing on Brady Day coming back to Kansas State. Although I've already told you guys in our, you know, D1 baseball internal chat that I'm kind of buying on K-State for next season. It's more that I'm reminded of, hey, we're not too far from the time of year I like the most about, other than the season, of course. But in terms of the offseason, my favorite time is when we first start to information gather about these teams and start to get excited and remember, oh yeah, this, they have this guy and this guy's coming back. And hey, there's this freshman whose name I heard. you know, a year ago, and now I'm reminded about him. Or, hey, this team has some big time questions. Who are the next guys up? My favorite part of this job, if you were to force me to pick it, is just being able to dive in on a team and do research, whether that's going to a fall game and seeing that, going to a preseason practice, reading the survey the coaches turned in during preseason preview time. That's my favorite part of the job, if you force me to pick one thing. And I was reminded in seeing Brady Day coming back and thinking about, hey, K-State's going to have him and Kalen Culpepper and Tyson Neighbors and on and on and on, kind of got me excited about like, oh, I get to do this with every team pretty soon. And that's really fun. Yeah. So, you know, all of the chaos of player movement. Okay, sure. But I mean, we kind of bemoan some of that, but the flip side of it is we all get to kind of open the presents, you know, and look at what these rosters are going to be in the fall and moving forward.
Love that. KR, what were you going to say?
No, it's funny that Joe mentioned Kansas State, because I was going to bring in Kalen Culpepper. You know, this is a guy that, you know, when I saw him early last year up in Arlington, I mean, I really liked him. And so, you know, I was reading David Seifert's Team USA report, was a couple weeks ago, on his, you know, summer with Team USA, just a fast rising prospect, obviously did a really nice job at the Cape. But I think the biggest thing for me when I look at Kansas State is, you know, hat tip to Pete Hughes. I mean, when you look at Kalen Culpepper, a guy who, you know, went to high school in the SEC country, a Memphis kid, Tyson Neighbors, a Dallas area kid, could have very easily, both those kids, gone in the portal, gone somewhere else, gone to LSU, gone to Vandy, gone to A&M, gone to Texas. And Pete Hughes, obviously, and Austin Waits and that staff, obviously did a very good job of keeping those guys at home. And, you know, both of those kids had really good summers. Kalen Culpepper, you know, Seif wrote, you know, was one of the, you know, one of the prospects with the most helium going into the fall. And so I just give a lot of props to Pete Hughes for keeping those kids at home. And frankly, kind of like Joe said, like it creates a really cool story in college baseball that Kansas State, a program who may not have the resources of some of these bigger schools, on paper looks like they're going to be pretty good next year, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm gonna summarize that, Ken Linda. It's really cool when, like, Kansas State, you know, they felt like they got snubbed from the NCAA tournament, and it's really cool when you see a bunch of kids that rally around that, as opposed to people scattering. And, you know, like, people scatter for different reasons, right? Like, it's not always, you know, that I should think lesser of them for doing that, or they took the money or whatever. Like, sometimes that happens, but really cool. You know, I've brought this up before, but RJ Green and Caleb Loma Vida staying at Cal, like, that's really cool. You know, like, I wouldn't be mad at them if they chose to leave, but it's really cool that they are happy at Cal and stayed. So that's a good one. Fitzy, what are you going with? What do you got for my college baseball chicken soup for my soul here?
And I'll say, first off, just to quickly follow up on Kendall's point there and Joe's point as well. It really is, you know, one of the fun things about summer ball is you can identify those teams. I mean, you see the players running around the Cape from a bunch, you know, a bunch of guys from one program. Like, I always think about, you know, summer 2011, spending time in the Cape and ran into all these Stony Brook kids, you know, Travis Jankowski and, you know, the Tyler Johnson and who had a great summer that year. And, you know, all these guys that I think they had four or five guys up there with the big third baseman who had all those home runs the following year, whose name I'm blanking on.
Carmona.
Thank you.
Willie Carmona.
The Cantwell, the catcher. I mean, like, all those guys were up there in the Cape, and I think a bunch of them were all-stars, and it was like, hey, like, Stony Brook's going to be good next year, guys. Like, you know, and it seemed pretty obvious, but like, that's kind of feels like what Kansas State is now. It's like, oh yeah. Okay. Like, they're going to be good. You know, they got all these guys that were already pretty good and that have turned the corner, taken a next step. And, I like that. One of the things I like about, certainly about summer ball, but, I'm excited about fall ball coming up. You guys know me, you know, Fitty Fall Ball, they call me,
I thought it was Fitty Barrels. It's going to be a new hat. Come on, Steven Shock. The hair, if you're only listening, people, Fitzy got a haircut, and it's an 80 right now. Nope, just no more, an absolute 80.
No more Fitty Bears. We're going Fitty Fall Ball for now. listen, this is a fun time of year. I just really enjoy the travel. You know, as you guys know, I love tearing up the road and, you know, just going to these places where you don't have the intensity of the regular season. You know, you can just kind of roll in there, and you know, the coaches are just so fired up to spend time with you. And, you know, a lot of times it's just like some great one-on-one and casual conversations. And, you know, I'm sitting in the stands, and Dave Van Horn comes up and spends four innings with you watching a game. And then, like, oh, here comes, you know, Coach Thompson to you know, following up. Like, they're just like parading over and hanging out. And it's just awesome. And you get to learn so much about, you know, about these teams from, I think, from that atmosphere, and just kind of the casual conversations, as well as the on the record conversations, as well as the looks that you get at players. And so I love the road trip. I love the jerky and the energy drinks if we got to do it. And we're gonna tear up some miles. Let's go.
I always think it's kind of interesting to look back at, like, you know, fall ball, especially like the incoming freshmen, because, like, you know, us as a quartet, like, we don't really watch the high school kids very much. So all we know is basically off of either what we watch in, like, an all-star game or what we read in reports. And I still remember the first fall that Dylan Cruz is at LSU, the scouting report on him is like, oh, there's just so much swing and miss, so much swing and miss. And I remember, like, the first scrimmage I saw from him at LSU in the fall, I'm sitting there watching, like, what the hell are they talking about? Like, I'm not seeing – a lot of swing and miss here. Like, I'm seeing a dude just squaring up every single ball. So I just think back to I always enjoy seeing those incoming kids for the first time. And like Aaron said, like a very informal setting, so to speak.
Yeah. And I would cap that, Kendall, where, like, you put up on the, I'll read the headline. You put up on the website, the 2023 D1 Baseball Fall Exhibition Central page, which is going to list all of those fall scrimmages that we're going to collect. So that, yeah, like everything you guys said, that gets the juices flowing. I'll give you guys two more, and then let's get player focused. So the Cape Cod title game, Bourne goes back to back, the Bourne Braves, I might mess up the nicknames, over the Orleans Firebirds. Now, Orleans is coached by Kelly Nicholson, is that right?
Correct, yep.
So that kind of, I don't know who coaches Bourne, but that hurts my heart because I love Coach Nicholson. Do we know who coaches Bourne, anyone? I should know that. I'll Google that while we're talking. They had 7,000 fans for the title game for the Cape Cod. That's got to be a record, right?
It's got to be. Did you say 7,000? Is that
what Twitter said?
One of those ballparks holds 7,000?
Well, there was people everywhere. Like, just, it was a massive humanity. Just like every place that you could put a human. Now, I'm just going off of Twitter.
I know, like, Orleans has a ton of, like, berm seating, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Eldridge Orleans, Park, yeah. Is that Orleans?
Yeah,
does that
exactly.
Sound right?
Yep. Yeah, by the way, so it used to be for a long time, Harvey Shapiro coached at Bourne, but now Scott Landers is there in his second year. Saltalamacchia is back there.
Oh, how about that?
Coach.
Interesting.
I'm reminded, Joe. When I think about the Cape and in attendance, you know, because they don't, for those who don't know, they don't charge admission. Now they do take donations at the front gate. And I'm using air quotes for those who aren't watching. Cause there aren't gates for many of them. I remember, this is just a side story. You get into some of these, even in Division One, you have some of the Metro Atlantic schools or schools in the NEC sometimes don't charge admission, and they only have so many actual seats, and it's a lot of berm seating. And so I remember when I was working at Baseball America, we got a informational survey sent from a school in one of those conferences, and I'm not playing coy. I truly don't remember who it was. That it said the stadium name, it had the dimensions of the stadium, and then it put capacity. And instead of just leaving it blank, because a lot of those schools would just leave it blank, they put infinity. And I just like
love that.
I that's the way I think about the Cape, because honestly, some of those places, like, you know, at Brewster, there's like a hill up the first baseline, and then like another hill, and it flattens out, and then another hill. So I mean, you really could.
Love that.
You know, fit thousands upon thousands of people in some of these places, and you'd never know how to count them. But I like to be reminded of the
So what you're saying is a 7,000 figure is probably slightly embellished.
Well, or undercounted, frankly. I would bet it's not under. I would bet it's, you know, about.
You hear
right
that, SEC?
Over,
there's
but
a team out there with infinity seats. So you guys are in second
Mississippi
place.
Mississippi State fans are questioning your numbers.
Yeah, the dude, second biggest baseball park in the country right now. Let me give you guys one more, and then we'll get to players. So our good friends at the Peak Events, they do the Carbach Brewing Round Rock Classic, which was – I mean, think about who we saw there last year. We saw Brody Brecht in Iowa beat LSU. We saw Kansas State with this really good core of players.
Who apparently is going to win the national title based on the way we've talked about them on this
podcast. We're already on board. So this year, they're adding another tournament, at least one more tournament that we know about in Jacksonville. And so I just think this, I speak for the group. We are all in on this concept. These 14 weekends in cool ballparks, matchups that we wouldn't get to see early in the season. Really, really cool. The one in Round Rock has been awesome. The one in Frisco has been awesome. And I love that the Peak Event guys are adding more. Carbach Brewing Company is an awesome sponsor whose name is like near impossible for me to pronounce. But Kendall Carbach, is that
you're right on.
Okay, nailed good. It. Yes. But anyway, that pumps me up.
I was hoping you said like Carbach or something.
I wanted to, believe me, every fiber of my being wanted to say Carbach. So, but it's Carbach. We're not going to mess
that up. It should be a lot of fun. And kind of like what we did last year, or this past year with the streaming stuff, we should have a pretty cool announcement on that in the next couple months. So it should be fun.
Yes. All right. So let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. Chris Gennaro, look at me being a pro. I'm taking a break so you can insert some advertisements in there. And then we will come back and we will each pick three players from the summer that got us pumped up. Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Yeah, you know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC. Yeah.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
All right, boom. Look at us. Pros. Kendall, I will start with you. I want we're going to go one at a time. Give me a player that you read about or saw this summer, not named Mason Jar Rogers, that is exciting for the 2024 college baseball season.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go with a high profile team here right off the bat. But you know, I think when you look at LSU and the guys they lost, I was reading about, you know, I think Sy's report on Jared Jones the other day, and you know, he's just one of those guys that, like, I'm really intrigued to see what he does in the spring, because if you think back to, you know, the fall, he was phenomenal in the fall. He was actually pretty good at the very beginning of this past season, but his role kind of diminished as LSU kind of set its lineup as the season progressed. And you know, now, you know, with Dylan and Trey Morgan and guys like that all gone, all of a sudden he goes from a diminished role to one of the dudes, so to speak. And so, you know, we already know that he has massive power. Now the question is, you know, can he be an adequate replacement for Trey Morgan at first? And also, can he cut down on the swing and miss? And so I think Jared Jones, for me, frankly, guys, offensively, out of everybody on LSU's roster, he might be the one I'm most excited to see this fall, because he's going to have the limelight on him, you know, quite a bit.
He could fall out of bed and hit 20 home runs. Like, it is stupid.
Yeah,
power.
It is crazy. When I saw them last fall, his first at bat in an LSU uniform, he hit like the top of the light standard at Louisiana. I mean, it's stupid.
They've got a whole subset of guys. They're going to be an interesting club just because they've got a whole subset of guys: Jared Jones, Paxton Kling, Brady Neal, guys who played a little, you know, I would say, like, you know, part-time's not quite right either. It's kind of something in between full-time and part-time, but you know, guys who played last year but weren't the stars of the show that now this year are going to be looked to take a big step. And obviously how good LSU is going to have a lot – how the good they are is going to have a lot to do with how good LSU is.
Well said. Fitzy, who do you want to go with here?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and take my guy before anyone else steals him. I don't think you guys would dare.
It's sniping season.
It's sniping season. I want to make sure I don't.
Can I predict who you're going to say?
I know who he's going to say too.
No, no.
I'm going to say. Can I say it?
Go ahead. Yeah, that's right.
Well, no, I was going to say Derek Bender.
No. Oh God, Kendall. Okay. I thought you knew me. We've been together for like a decade now.
You hurt Fitzy's feelings.
That one.
Okay.
I love. Hey, listen. I love Derek.
I was going to say Siever King since he's a Wake Forest guy.
Did not see Siever King. I do love Derek Bender. Had a great conversation with him at Coastal this year. But no, Joe Oyama is the correct answer. Coach Rooney, ding, big winner. This guy is so much fun, you guys. I'm so sad that I missed UC Irvine this spring, so I did not see him. And so my first experience with Joe Oyama was this summer at Orleans, and he was just – he's the best. He's 5'7". And he's, you know, does all the things that you want a 5'7" second baseman to do. Of course, he plays a really nice second base. He runs, he drags, he slaps, he pushes. You know, he's a very good runner. Energy guy, works counts, top of the lineup. Hit like 380 or something. But also, guess what? He hit like 6 home runs in the Cape, 8 home runs in the Cape, if you count the playoffs. 8, you know, with wood bats, 5'7". A bunch of triples, doubles. I mean, he drives the ball, dude. Like this guy is so much fun. He's older. He's an older player. And so he got passed over in the draft. I think he'll be 23 this fall. And I just hope somebody gives him a chance next year because he is, you know, I mean, I get it. Like Jose Altuve had to fight an uphill battle. We were talking about that in our work chat this week. Like, you know, that guy, it took a lot for him to sign for a bag of peanuts and worked his way up and became a guy. I'm not saying this guy is Altuve, but like, he's like, you know, right now he's the closest thing we got to Altuve in college baseball. Put it that way. I mean, it's just a dynamic player with an awesome personality. He's from Japan. I think I heard from somebody that like, you know, he can always go back and play in Japan if he doesn't get a chance in pro ball, but I hope he does get a chance in organized ball here. In the meantime, I can't wait to watch him for the Anteaters next year because he's just, I mean, he's like the all fit prototype guy. He's so
Fitty,
he's
is
so
he like
cool.
A Stephen Kwan type?
He's, well, I mean, no, because like he's shorter than Kwani. And he's like, you know, he's a second baseman, he's not a center fielder, but like like Kwan, he can really run, but like it's I mean, it's honestly, it's like an Altuve type player is what he is. It's like he's kind of thicker, you know, even though he's short, he's like compact and strong. He's got like a leg lift and really fast hands. You just drop him in there, and you know, it's just a guy that really just freaking hits, man.
Love that.
Sold.
Joe, yeah, sold. Mm-hmm. Amen. Joe, yeah, Irvine, another team to keep on your radar for next year. Who are you going with, Joseph? Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. Oyama, Anthony Martinez, good player. Yeah, Oyama, quickly on him, I saw him a little bit too. And in the span of like half an hour, he beats out an infield single with a 4-flat time to first base. And then in his next at bat, he goes like opposite field off the wall for a double that was 100 something off the bat. And I just kind of, you know, it was one of those where I turned around to the scouts that were kind of standing behind me and like, Are you guys seeing this? Like, why is he still here? But regardless,
do your job. Let's
do
go.
Your job, yeah, scouts. God, you know, listen. The
sources tell me
short guy bias must stop. We got to give short guy a chance.
Sources tell me that Joe actually said that to him.
Yeah, do your job.
I did, and then it became a fracas, and much like how Aaron described Joe Oyama's game, I used the runs, drags, slaps, and pushes strategy to defend myself.
So great.
Anyway,
that's pro Joe. You just took us from Joe Oyama to the word fracas. Thank you for that. Well played.
I'm gonna go with a player not on the Cape. I was at the Appalachian League All Star game this summer, and I was intrigued by Hollis Fanning. For a couple reasons. One is that, look, there's nothing wrong with what he did statistically at Tennessee last year. Like the numbers on a rate basis are great. You know, 17-3 strikeout to walk ratio, like the ERA is low, but he just didn't get a lot of run because Tennessee was Tennessee on the mound. Right. And coaches say, you know, you can never have too much pitching, but that was a case where Tennessee just did for him to really get any sort of, any sort of opportunity in high leverage spots. So now he's transferring to NC State, and I'm intrigued because he gets a lot of outs just kind of with not high octane stuff. It's like a low 90s fastball with a high 80s cutter, but he gets quite a bit of swing and miss on that stuff. So I guess there's some deception there that, you know, we just kind of can't see from our vantage point. And furthermore, NC State is one of those programs that just does a really nice job with right-handers who just kind of have okay stuff, right? Like guys who aren't going to really blow you away. And, you know, we could sit here and go through a list just in the last 5 years of guys who aren't really prospects who had really nice years for NC State in starting roles. And I don't know what Hollis Fanning's role will ultimately be, but he looks the part of a guy who could start. And so I came away impressed in part because the stuff didn't necessarily blow me away. But in an opportunity, we talk about the transfer portal and look, we bemoan the fact that Samford gets picked apart every year by the SEC. But this is one where, you know, if you're NC State, this is an opportunity to not only give an opportunity to a pitcher who just didn't get a lot of run last year, but an opportunity to kind of better yourself by taking another team's surplus and maybe being able to turn into a pitcher that they weren't able to turn him into at his original stop. So just a good opportunity all around for him, and was impressed by what I saw at the Abbey League All-Star game.
Love that. Boys, I'm going to go – you guys alluded to the excitement of fall. So I've got Brandon Compton, who is a redshirt freshman at Arizona State, a rising redshirt freshman. I learned about him. I had never – you guys know I see a lot of Arizona State. I live here. Never heard the name before. Totally whiffed on his freshman year. He redshirted, so that didn't help me. But Patrick Ebert did help me. Patrick Ebert wrote up, did some great write-ups on the Northwoods League this fall, this summer. And Brandon Compton is a left-left. He's a 6'1", 210 pounds. He had Tommy John surgery at the end of his high school senior year. He's from Buckeye, Arizona, which is way out west. Just an awesome blue-collar area. It's the home of Cole Calhoun, so I am predisposed to love anyone from Buckeye. And Brandon Compton, you know, didn't get to play baseball this year. Talking to the guys at Arizona State, the coaches, they were this close to yanking his red shirt for the bat, but they didn't. They held off and didn't do it. He's a two-way player, obviously, but he went to the Northwoods League this summer and just got after it. I'm thinking Charlie Condon-ish. He's a different, totally different player, right? Charlie Condon, 6'6 and right-handed. But Brandon Compton for Duluth, 60 games, 74 hits, 13 home runs, 71 RBIs, led the Northwoods League in RBIs this summer. So, you know, again, like I love the perseverance of that story where you're going to Arizona State and you have high aspirations and you're injured. You have to sit out the year, but you go to the Northwoods League and absolutely grind it out, put up big numbers. So good on you, Brandon Compton. I can't wait to see him this fall. So should be good. Kendall, round two, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Derek Fabian from Auburn. You know, he was a guy that if you look back at his two-year career at Florida, I mean, he's got the measurables, right? I mean, 6'3", 190 pounds, just a really athletic frame. You know, only had 38 at-bats for Florida this past season. But, I mean, if you look at the summer that he had, I think it was with – I want to say it was with Chatham maybe. I mean, he had 352 with five homers. He took a big step forward against some of the best competition on the summer circuit. And so I'm just really intrigued to see how he does for Auburn this fall, because clearly he's a very talented player. Now he's obviously going to have a much larger role at a place like Auburn, and he's coming off a very good summer at the Cape. So that really kind of stood out to me, just how consistent he was with a wooden bat.
And there's some talk that Auburn plans to make him their shortstop this year. I think he's an average – you know, serviceable shortstop at this stage. I'll be curious to see how that works. Like, I like him as a defender at third. I think you could put him at second. You know, he can handle short okay. I mean, it's just, but like, it's kind of an average arm. It's not like a standout arm. You know, so that's something to watch. But like, I think there's actually a little bit of whip in that bat too. Like, you know, he's more of a line drive guy right now. But like, I think there could be some power to come too. He was kind of like buried Florida, and after playing a lot as a freshman, didn't have a very good freshman year. He was just a utility guy, and one weekend I was in there against Vanderbilt, like he kind of got his chance to play because Rivera was sick for a couple of days, and he made the most of it, you know. And they kind of lauded him for like, hey, this guy stayed ready. He worked really hard. He's like, he's a great teammate. He's been disappointed he hasn't been able to play, but now he's going to have a chance to play, you know. And maybe it is a shortstop. And hey, Kendall, you're right. Like maybe this guy takes a big jump.
Hey Fitzy, can I give you, you know, like you're the one that defends having a lot of open windows. Tabs, I should say. I was corrected on that last week. So I was getting frustrated with how many tabs I had open, and so I closed one, and the tab I closed was this podcast, which is why I disappeared. So and there you go. Fitzy, exhibit A for having many tabs.
The moral of the story is never close your tabs.
Okay, so that leads me to like a brief inane banter. How many tabs do you guys have open? I have four open right now, including this
four?
One.
Four? Are you even trying?
I have four in one window, and then I've got two other windows, and this one looks like it's got about 20 tabs open.
What about you, Joe?
Joe?
I have nine, and the ninth is a page looking up information on Buckeye, Arizona, which I learned is Arizona's largest city by area.
Oh,
really?
So why are you looking up Buckeye, Arizona?
Because that's where Runes' player Compton. Was from.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Team player there. Kendall, I just opened my 14th window for my next player. So that's what I got.
You're already triggering me over here.
Triggering you.
Also, by the way, just to look at my email inbox, I'm actually need to trim this down. I've got 22 emails in my inbox.
Oh, you're not even breathing over there.
That's a disaster, man. You're gonna get overwhelmed.
Oh, where are we, by the way? Fitzy, is it my your turn?
Fitz just went, so it should be Joe's turn.
No, Fitz
talked about or followed up on Fabian, so now he's got to pick a player.
Yeah, that's right. I was just piggybacking, exactly. My player, guys, to continue the theme of hashtag short king summer.
Short kings.
I'm going to go with my man Kane Kepley from Liberty. This is a breakout candidate for next year. Coastal Plain League All-Star, played for High Point in Thomasville. Little speed guy, you know, 5'8", slasher, outfielder, premium runner. I think he ran a 6.45 in the 60 that day. But he, you know, so quick twitch there. And I think there's some sneaky bat speed too. I'm intrigued by this guy. I think he's going to go play in the Cape next year. You know, he had a good freshman year for Liberty, hit, you know, over 300 and really, like, I think it was an encouraging debut, but we took a step forward, you know, hit the ball with more authority this year, but it's really a table setter profile, and I just think he's going to be a really fun player, so we're going to keep giving the short guy some love. Go get him, Kane Kepley.
Oh, hashtag short king summer. Joe, what do you got?
I'm also going to the Coastal Plain League. I'm going to talk about Dylan Kuntz from Campbell. Didn't get a lot of play last year, but this guy is cut out of central casting for Campbell. I think I've said it, if not on this podcast, I've definitely said it in our internal chats at D1 Baseball that Campbell definitely has a type. If you take like Zach Neto out of the, you know, the equation, but other than that, with their typical position player, they have a type and it's like 6 foot, 200 to 215, kind of positionless because he doesn't really play any position great, but he can play a bunch of places. Okay. And he's got power and he hits for average. And that's kind of what Dylan Kuntz is like. He played first base this summer for the most part, but he's also played right field, left field, third base, a little bit of second base. But the guy really hits, you know, 10 home runs this summer, 48 runs driven in this summer for or on the Coastal Plain. I think he played for Forest City, shout out, in the Coastal Plain League. Yeah. The Forest City Owls, I think that's the team name, right? Yeah. So it just kind of seems like another in that line that Campbell has. Like, I suspect I'll show up in the fall at some point, or Aaron will show up this fall at some point at Campbell and just be like, oh yeah, here's the next guys in the assembly line that are just going to put up huge numbers, just like all these, you know, Lawson Harrell and Logan Jordan and pick your, you know, Campbell guy the last 15 years whose names that, you know, the casual fans don't know, but it's just kind of kept the line moving in that program.
Love that. I love the Campbells have a type. I love that. Boys, I'm going Dalton Bargo. He played in the Appy League, which admittedly, I need to learn more. My summer baseball knowledge, because our summer has shrank so much in college baseball with the late draft, I need to, Coach Rooney's putting myself on notice right now. I need to do a better job. Now, luckily, there's a ton of great stuff on the website to help me there. But Dalton Bargo was at Mizzou. and I believe he's a left-handed hitter. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. And he's kind of right. He's like that fringy recruit, right? He's left-handed hitter, which intrigues you. He's 6'1", not 6'4". He's 195 pounds. He doesn't portray great athleticism. Apparently, he's an average defensive catcher right now, but I think he's hitterish, and the numbers back that up. He was a very competent hitter as a true freshman at Mizzou. It's very hard to hit as a freshman in the SEC, and he backed that up by going to the Appy League and winning the batting title. Hit 351 this summer in the Appy League, and now he's going to Tennessee. And I just feel like there's another breakout candidate. I don't know what becomes of him defensively or, you know, what have you, but I feel like there's an offensive star in there because the bat to ball seems very, very good.
Yeah, they're going to have an interesting – Tennessee's going to be an interesting team to watch in the fall because they've got a real – and look, good problem to have, but they've got a real kind of logjam because they've also got Cannon Peebles – who kind of is a similar type of play, not in terms of necessarily like people's got more impact than Bargo at the plate, but offense first catcher. So one of them is going to catch, but you've also got, okay, so then maybe one of those guys goes to first base. Well, you've got Blake Burke. Maybe one plays third base. Well, you've got Billy Amick. So I mean, they're just going to have a lot of pieces to move around. And so it'll be, look, again, good problem to have. I am certain they will figure it out. But they do kind of have a lot of corner, catcher, first base, third base profile guys, and I'll be kind of fascinated to see how they kind of reconcile all that.
And I'll say this too, you know, Amick, I think, wants to play third base, and I think that's why he primarily why he left Clemson, if was my understanding. And Tennessee, you know, I think is planning to give him the chance to play third base. Can he do it? I think there's a lot to prove there. And so that's one of the interesting things about the transfer portal era is just there's a lot of promises made about opportunities that in a lot of cases I think are not going to pan out. Yeah. And, you know, that's just the way it is. But I guess caveat emptor if you're a player too, like, yeah, you still got to go out there and earn it. You're not going to have anything handed to you. But like a lot of guys are seeking greener pastures. Like, hey, your coaches aren't idiots. Like a lot of times if you're not playing a position, it's because you can't play the position. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes you can. I mean, sometimes these coaches are idiots. I don't know. But anyway, I just think that's a fascinating thing to watch.
I forgot Zane Denton in that mix as well. He's coming back, and maybe he's a fit at second base. I don't know, question mark, you know. Yeah. But that moves Christian Moore to shortstop.
Maybe they just promise Zane he can play short if he stays. I don't know. I mean, like, that's just – you do what you got to do, man. You make all the promises you need to make.
By the way, the Carrots are officially promising Patrick Mahomes that he's our QB1 if he signs with us. So just throw that out there. Kendall, let's do rapid fire. Let's go one more player each. Let's do a rapid fire one player. Or you're muted.
Ding.
On brand.
Well, I was going to say.
Kendall, when can we get a Steven Shock hat for you that says muted KR? When do we get that?
I don't know. Well, you know, my wife got me this for Christmas. I'm on that. Air. Apparently, I don't realize I'm on air.
That's good background.
Thank you. Well done. Yes. I have a little bit of work to do. It's a little white back there. Yeah.
Classy, though.
Well, since I'm a noted mid-major lover, I'm going to go with Ryan Sprock from Elon. I don't know if Joe or Aaron saw him last year, but he had a really solid, you know, spring for the Phoenix. And, you know, Patrick Eber had some really, really good things to say about him in his Northwoods All-Star Game reports. He had a great summer. Hit 320, 8 homers, 40 RBIs, showed pretty good balance. So, you know, strikeout to walk ratio, had an OPS nearing 1,000. So keep an eye on him, 5'10, sophomore for the Phoenix. So he had a great summer at the Northwoods.
Might be better on the mound too. Like I saw him on the mound, and stop me if you've heard this before, but like Elon's got some young pitching. Like he and Justin Mitrovich were a couple of freshmen who threw the ball really well this season for them. But Sprock's tricky on the mound. He's got that short right-hander thing going where the ball just kind of seems to take off, you know, from that low, you know, lower than hitters are used to seeing it. So talented guy for sure. That's a good call.
What's really interesting, Joe, about Sprock is that, you know, Patrick noted in his report that he's actually focused 100% on hitting this summer. So I don't know if that's something he's going to do full-time moving forward, or is he just giving his arm a break? I guess we'll find out here in a few weeks in fall reports.
Short King Summer. I think that's my big takeaway from that. Thank you.
Exactly. My turn, I believe. I'm going to give you two real quick names from the NECBL All-Star game. One of them is another two-way player like Kendall's been talking about. Anthony Steele, Penn State. Penn State has got, I think Mike Gambino is inheriting some interesting pieces here, but Anthony Steele is one of them. One of the guys I ran into this summer that I liked. Won the home run derby up there. Left-handed hitter, 6'4", 230. You know, strong like bull. And also, I mean, had a dominant summer off the mound as a, as their closer. Left-handed pitcher, like, you know, 8.992 with some life, and it looks the part, you know, and I don't think he's really performed to this point in his collegiate career, but he sure performed this summer in the NECBL. Really intriguing breakout candidate. And then Everett Catlett for Georgetown, who started the summer in the NECBL, was great for Mystic, and then finished it actually up at Orleans in the Cape. I didn't see him up there, but he was, I think he had two great outings for them to help in their playoff run, but 6'7" left-hander, low slot, like 92-93 with all kinds of life, got a slider. He's got feel for a change. I mean, but like he's not performed so far in his career. He had some injury issues, I believe, this past spring, and had like an ERA in the sevens. And so like, I think he had some pro interest this summer. I don't believe he wound up signing. No, he couldn't have, because he was pitching the playoffs for the Cape. So anyway, very fascinating breakout guy. Picked a click, kind of a late bloomer. He'll be a fourth-year player that I think has a chance to pop.
Love that. Joseph, what do you got?
I'm going to pick – this is the first player from the Cape I've talked about, but Hunter Hines from Mississippi State broke the Woodbat Cape Cod League home run record this summer. 13 home runs in the regular season, then he hit a 14th in the postseason. And, you know, look, he plays for YD and it's a smaller park, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I will say his teammates were all hitting at that park too. And the second highest total on YD's roster for home runs was 3. So look, I mean, the dude has real, real power. We know that. And I'm kind of intrigued by his trajectory moving forward. It's the power we've known about. He's hit 38 home runs through two seasons at State. That being said, you know, he's a less than 300 hitter over two seasons. He strikes out a decent amount. He's pretty much limited to first base. And like, but if he hits with this kind of power, it's kind of like, who cares? You know, like it'll be fine. They'll figure it out. But he is going to have to continue to hit with power, because that's where his value is tied right now. But is it crazy to say he might have the most raw power of anybody in the 2024 class? I'll leave that to David Seifert. But like, it's hard for me to imagine someone, you know, I'd love to see the guy that has more raw power in the class than Hunter Hines for sure.
Love that. Yeah. That's it, again, every time we bring up one of these players, it makes that team intriguing. Like, really excited to see what Mississippi State's got cooking this fall. I'm going to go Cam Smith, boys. I had Florida State early in the year, and like Cam Smith got to a point last year. He was very hyped up. Like, he was my national freshman of the year in the preseason. You know, he looks the part. He's 6'3", 225 pounds, can clearly stay on the dirt, you know, could really, really hit. He got his rear end handed to him last year as a freshman. And he got to a point where he was unplayable because there was so much swing and miss. Now, here's the part that I missed. He must have done really well down the stretch. You guys take a guess. Guess what Cam Smith hit for the year at Florida State last year? Anybody?
290.
Kendall? You're muted if you're
talking. I'm going to go with 278.
Oh, you guys,
I'll go right in the middle. 282.
Yeah, so it was 258. I thought he was hitting like 200. He had 12 home runs too. So again, it was bad. There was a part in that season last year where he was really scuffling. Yeah. Now they were really scuffling. But anyway, he hit 258 with 12, and then he went to the Cape and he hit just about 350 for Hyannis. What is it? 347 with 6 home runs, 12 doubles. I mean, just really was fantastic. So I'm gonna mention him. Fitzy, did you see him live?
I did see him. Yeah, and I mean, he looks great. And interesting thing about him too is when he first got up there, his first 8 games in the Cape, his strikeout rate was about 50%. You know, it was just like, ooh, like, is this gonna? And then he made some adjustments with Tino Martinez, who was up there for a while working with that team, Hyannis, and their hitting coach Drew Earhart, and he kind of like just made a huge adjustment and it let the ball get deeper. And he kind of went to like a strideless two-strike approach that made a big difference for him. And he finished the season like 15% swing and miss. So like just really, really impressive growth as a player. He's draft eligible next year, guys, and he is going to be a first round pick. I'm going to say it. I feel that's, you know, I'm not going on too much of a limb here. Like he had that kind of buzz heading into his freshman year. He didn't perform like that as a freshman, but it's coming, baby. Like yeah. This guy is going to be a big star. I'm in on it.
I love it. Hey, let's wrap with this. So a headline that I saw recently. So Bourne, we mentioned, won the Cape Cod League, and this is pretty cool. Rutgers, who did not have as good of a season as we hoped, but it was a good season, but Bourne in the Cape, that championship team had three Rutgers players, Josh Carota-Grauer, Hugh Pickney, and then Pete Chifretta. I might be mispronouncing that, but I think it's Pete Chifretta, the transfer from Lafayette, were all key players on that Bourne team that won the Cape Cod title. Christian Coppola or Coppola, still to be determined on how to say that. He was on Team USA. So again, here I go, very bullish on Rutgers coming into next year. A lot to like and a lot to bet on there. So, all right, let's housekeeping items. We have not asked for reviews on the podcast app, and let's do that. So please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, whatever your podcasting app is. And in your review, please list the name of your fantasy football team. If you're not playing fantasy football this year, then your team name can be Screw Joe Healy. What's he even doing with his life? But put your fantasy football team name in there. If it's good, we'll read it on air. Also, if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe. That's very, very helpful. And then finally, subscriptions, you know, fall reports are right around the corner. All this great summer content is on the website right now. If you type in save 30 at checkout, this is for an annual sub to d1baseball.com, secextra.com, save 30 will get you 30% off. An autographed stocking from Kurt Reed. That's part is we're not sure we're efforting that part. So
it's the gift spoiler that keeps alert, on giving the whole
might
year.
Be able to make we've never been closer to making that happen. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, if you get a subscription now, you get 30% off and Kurt Reed's cell phone number is what you get. There you go.
I love the fact that anyone who didn't hear the original Kurt Reed podcast is like no idea. We bring this up like every episode. I love it.
Yeah, it's go back into the archives and
that's
get
right. That's do right. your go homework, America. Right. Do your homework.
Yes.
I actually, for me not playing fantasy football, I don't want to say blame you, but you're related to the last experience I had in fantasy football. I played in a league that you had put together of like college baseball coaches and media and stuff like that, and a still current college coach who will remain nameless. I was being a bad manager. I will admit I was being a bad manager. My team was bad. So like I lost interest real early and stopped updating my roster. We all do things we regret in life, but this college coach messaged me on the app we were using basically asked for me to turn over my login information so that one of his colleagues could run my team. And like, wasn't super nice about it, honestly.
Oh, no.
Like it was a little more aggressive than I would have liked to have it to been, but anyway, so you know what, that was my last, and it wasn't because of that. Like clearly me not updating my team was evidence that I had kind of lost interest. But
so this is on you, Coach Rooney. You ruined Joe Healy's love affair with fantasy football all because you forced him to join this league with a bunch of hard-nosed roughnecks that weren't gonna sit around here and stand for Joe's non-competitive attitude.
Yeah, I'll take full responsibility for that. Gosh, I'm dying to know what coach it was. So, gentlemen, well done. That was very fun. That was the theme of the podcast was college baseball therapy, and I feel therapied. Thank you for that. I feel much college baseball joy in my heart. Fitzy, have a wonderful trip to the land of ice, and everyone have a great week. We will catch you next time on the D1 Baseball Podcast. The D1 Baseball Podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.